worn and faded now, which recalls those happy days of long ago.
Hello. You remember, I suppose, that at the end of last week's discussion, I was, well, feeling good. At peace with myself and with the world. The next morning, I slept so late that I had to rush right off to work without a minute to talk things over with Nettie. That night, we had company. And the next morning, I again overslept. Well, by that night, I was again in a quandary about the Sabbath question, and purposely avoided talking it over with Nettie. She tried to bring the subject up several times, but after a couple of unsuccessful tries, she gave it up. When Saturday came, I took off for parts unknown. Sunday morning, Nettie got herself and Carl Jr. ready, and without saying anything to me, took off for Sunday school and church. The house was awfully quiet and cold. I tried reading the Sunday paper, but that didn't help. Finally, in desperation, I laid aside the Sunday paper and just sat back in the chair, deep in thought. I can't go on like this. It isn't fair to Nettie, or Carl Jr., or myself.
Why isn't it fair? Your wife and kids certainly can't expect you to do something that'll bring the laughs and scorn of the world down upon you. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Oh, don't pay no attention to that stuff. You've got to live your own life, don't you? Well, live it the way you want to live it. It's your life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My dear man, don't let anyone fool you. You've got to feed and clothe your family. What'll happen to them if you keep Saturday? Your family'll starve, and you'll end up... Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. My dear man...
Shut up! Shut up, both of you! I don't need any conscience, good or bad, to help me. I'll make my own decisions. And so things stood when Tuesday night rolled around and it was time once again for Uncle Julius and Aunt Martha to arrive. I had toyed with the idea of suddenly finding something else to do, but decided against that drastic action. I managed a smile and words of welcome for Aunt Martha and Uncle Julius when they arrived at 7 o'clock. Soon we were listening to another of Nettie's many records.
There's someone who loves every sinner. He's calling, oh, hear him today. 'Tis Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. He's only a prayer away. He's only a prayer away. He's only a prayer. Jesus, the Savior of men, he's only a prayer away. Though friends may divide and forsake you, and leave you alone in the way, remember the promise of Jesus, he's only a prayer. Savior of men, he's only a prayer away.
Loving Father, we're so thankful that thou hast led and blessed us in these studies. Now as we again open thy book to study its precepts, help us to let the rays of truth light our pathway. Give me special wisdom to guide these studies according to thy will and direction. And at last may we all meet around that great white throne in heaven and forever be with thee. In Jesus' name. Amen. I still haven't made up my mind whether to have a story or to go on with the studies.
Uncle Julius, I'm not in the mood for a discussion.
Neither am I.
Then we'll have a story. And it's another story written, produced, and recorded by your story hour. All we have to do is turn on the tape machine and sit back and listen.
Fine with me.
This story, by the way, is a true story. It happened near Muncie, Indiana, way back before the days of automobiles and aeroplanes and many of the other wonderful machines and gadgets we enjoy today. It's the story of David Cunnington. The first voice you hear on this tape will be that of David telling his story.
My name is David Cunnington. I own what you might call a grocery store in a prosperous town in the middle of old Indiana. On one of those days when business was at a standstill, I went out front of the store where old Grandpa Hansbrough was whittling away at something or other. What are you whittling, Grandpa?
Oh, nothing, David. Just a whistle for the young Davis boy.
It looks like a whistle, anyhow.
Well, that's what it is.
Care if I sit down beside you and chat a while?
It's your store and time. Do what you're mind to with them, David. Well, David, my boy, what do you think about your old Teddy now?
Teddy Roosevelt?
Yep.
What'd he do now?
Well, ain't you read the papers lately?
I don't have time to read the newspaper.
Well, if an old Teddy didn't go and send the United States Navy plumb around the world.
Send the Navy around the world? What did he do that for?
Well, so's the Navy fellows get experience. And at the same time show the Navy off to them other countries. So's they wouldn't jump on us and fight us.
Doesn't the President know that sending the Navy around the world costs a heap of money? And doesn't he... Where's that music coming from?
Don't know. But it's mighty good singing. Sounds like it's coming from that wagon ahead of this way.
Well, anyway, if Teddy Roosevelt don't watch out, he...
I want to hear that singing, David. I ain't heard singing like that in a coon's age.
Did you see that?
Well, I got eyes, ain't I?
Well, what was it? With those tents and poles and things a-pile in that wagon, I'd say there must be a circus coming to town.
Shock, David. You ain't never heard singing like that from circus folks.
Well, who are they, then?
Well, I can see you ain't read the paper all right. Well,
who are they? Gypsies or something?
Nope. Them folks is heading for a camp meeting.
Camp meeting? Where?
Out at Heakin's Woods.
Heakin's Woods, eh?
Yep.
Well, good. This town can use some good old-time religion.
Well, David Cunnington, imagine you were saying that, and you the head deacon of our church.
Well, what's wrong with people holding a camp meeting in Heakin's Woods? This is a free country, isn't it?
Well, sure is, David. But just the same, it ain't seeming for you to let the Advents hold a camp meeting, right?
Advents are holding that camp meeting?
Yep, the seven-day Advents. Them people what keep Saturday for Sunday.
But Heakin's Woods is only a stone's throw away from our church. Well, they can't do that.
We can use some good old-time religion.
But those Advents will get the people so confused that they won't know if they're coming or going.
Oh, calm down, David. Ain't good for your digestion.
Tell you, we gotta put a stop to it.
Well, there's religious liberty in this country, you know, David. Everybody's a right to worship like he pleases, and on any day he's a mind to.
Well, I'm going to put a stop to it. Those Advents can't come here and spread their heretical beliefs all over the place. I won't stand for it. I didn't let any grass grow under my feet.
I tried to get the town fathers to stop the camp meeting, but they just laughed and said that I didn't have to go to the meetings if I hadn't a mind to. I went back to my store and made signs and hung all over the place, signs that proclaimed that those Advents were of the devil, and all real Christians would stay away from the devil and his human imps. And then I talked to folks as they came in the store and tried to get them to promise not to attend the Advent meetings out in Hickens Woods.
Afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Haney. What can I do for you?
2 spools of 50 white thread, a pound of prunes, a card of rickrack, and... oh, I guess that's all.
Right away, Mrs. Haney. By the way, Mrs. Haney, you heard about the camp meeting out at Hickens Woods?
No, I hadn't. What about it?
I was just wondering if you figured on going.
Nope, guess not. Are you?
I wouldn't go for all the tea in China.
I think if we go to our own meetings, we got all we can do.
Perfectly right, Mrs. Haney. And as a deacon of our church, I'm trying to get everyone to promise not to go to that camp meeting. Here you are, Mrs. Haney. 30 cents, please.
Here you are, David.
Thanks, Mrs. Haney.
What church is holding the camp meeting out at Hickens Woods?
The Advents.
Oh, I ain't heard much about the Advents.
You haven't?
No.
Well, they're of the devil, Mrs. Haney.
My, that's terrible.
They use a different Bible than we do.
Are you sure about that?
Of course. Else why would they believe so much different than anyone else? They keep Saturday for Sunday.
Well, that ain't so awful. I've heard of people keeping Wednesday.
Well, those Advents are of the devil. And that camp meeting out at Hickens Wood is the devil's ground. So don't go near the place.
Well, we'll see, David. Good afternoon.
By that evening, I doubt if there was a man, woman, or child in that entire county that didn't know about that Advent camp meeting out at Hickens Woods and not to go near the place. Well, when the meeting opened that night, and those Advents saw that no one had come, I imagine they were terribly disappointed. The next morning was bright and sunshiny. All nature seemed to smile at the victory we and Muncie had won over the Advents in their camp meeting. I went about cleaning the store and getting ready for the day's business with a light and happy heart.
Daddy, can I help you sweep the store?
No, Elmer. You run off to school like a good little boy, huh?
I'd rather stay here and help you.
No, son. You must go to school. Run along before you're late.
Oh, Dad, I want to stay with you.
Well, I'll let you help me tonight,
Will you really?
Of course. I run along to school now.
All right, Daddy. Goodbye.
And be a good boy.
Morning, David.
Morning, Gramps Ambro. You're up and around rather early, aren't you?
Well, I had to rush right over and tell you the news.
What news?
About the Advent camp meeting out at Hickens Woods.
Oh, that.
You hear about it?
Have they already pulled up stakes and left?
Pulled up stakes and left?
Well, yeah. When no one showed up at their camp meeting last night, I told everyone you know not to go, and I'll bet they were mad when no one at all showed up.
Well, bust my buttons, David. You were the best advertisement the Advents could have had.
Advertisements? Me?
Yep. I think everybody and his brother went to that Advent meeting last night.
What?
Except me and your family and Ed Haney. He works at night at the fence factory and couldn't go.
But those Advents are of the devil.
Well, Grandma Johnson says you must be wrong about that, David.
But I'm not. Why, they even use a different Bible than we do.
Not according to Grandma Johnson, they don't.
Well, anyway, it's mighty dangerous going over on enemy territory like that. Those Advents got a clever way of confusing folks until they don't realize they're being led astray.
Led astray? Why, David Cunnington, how can pure Bible lead people astray?
I tell you, those Advents are mighty clever.
Grandma Johnson's right, David. You ought to go and hear for yourself.
Me?
Sure, why not? Best music one ever heard. Why, Grandma Johnson said she ain't never heard singing like that, not in a month of Sundays.
Well, anyone can sing good, even the devil.
Oh, land sakes, those Advents talk like they know the Bible, too. Why, Grandma Johnson said the way they quote the Bible wouldn't hurt nobody.
Just the same, I'm not going. Why, I just shouldn't go to... Nope, I won't go a step. For some reason or other, people seemed to go wild over those meetings out at Heakin's Woods. The whole neighborhood was stirred up.
I tell you, David, there ain't never been preaching like that preacher preached. Why, he preaches straight from the book.
Things got so all stirred up and bad that right in Sunday school that Sunday, I jumped up and made a little speech. I hear that a lot of you good people have been going out to Heakin's Woods to them Advent meetings. Don't you know that when you do things like that, you make the Lord our Savior very sad? It re-crucifies him. Do you want to re-crucify Jesus every day by going to those meetings? Well, stop going then. I'm calling a special meeting of the deacons and deaconesses for tonight at 7:30. Now, every one of you be here. We've got to figure out some way to stop those Advents.
David, it's 7:30, and there ain't no one here yet but you and me.
Hell, they'll be here.
No, they won't, David, and you know it. They're all over to that camp meeting, the whole kit and caboodle of them.
It makes me heartsick, Grandpa Hensrow, to think that our own church members are swept away by every wind of doctrine.
Oh, I don't know, David, if I call them Adventists that bad.
What?
I've been there myself a couple of times this week.
Grandpa Hensrow.
Wait, why not? If you get as old as me, David, you won't let things bother you so much. See? I take life as it comes. There, hear that? That's the opening hymn over at the campground. Ain't it pretty? Land sakes, they got some mighty fine singing, David. Mighty fine. Come on, let's go.
Me? Go to that meeting? I should say not.
Come on, David, won't do you no harm.
Well, what would people say?
They couldn't dare say a thing. They're there themselves, ain't they?
I'm going to stay away from enemy territory, I tell you.
How are you going to know how to fight the enemy, David, less than you know how he fights? Now, come on, let's go. Then you'll know what to say to keep other folk from a-going.
Well, I...
Come on, it's your duty, ain't it? Is the head deacon to know what's going on in the enemy lines?
Well, yes, I suppose.
And that is good music, David. Mighty good. Come on.
All right.
By the time Grandpa Hansbrough and I got to camp meeting, the congregation was just finishing the opening song.
Before we begin the discourse for the evening, we're going to listen to a very special treat, our own male quartet singing, We Know Not the Hour.
We know not the hour of the Master's appearing, yet signs all foretell that the moment is nearing. When he shall return, 'tis a promise most cheering, but we know not the hour.
As the quartet sang, I glanced around. Almost everyone was there, even the big pillars in our own church. Several of them saw me looking at them and smiled. I felt like a dog that has been caught killing sheep. But it was too late then to back down. So, boldly I took out pencil and pad, as much as to tell the good members of my church that I was there only to take down notes and texts to prove that those Advents were heretics.
And we'll pray with our lamps trimmed and burning. We'll work and we'll wait till the Master's returning. We'll sing and rejoice, every omen discerning, but we know not the hour. He will come.
Tonight, I shall tell you why I am a Seventh-day Adventist.
We came just at the right time, ain't David?
It looks like
there
it.
Are many people in this world, some within the hearing of my voice, who are prejudiced against Seventh-day Adventists. Some say that Adventists are a new and fanatical group, teaching heresies and unreasonable doctrines. They claim that Adventists teach doctrines not taught by our Lord and Savior, nor found in His holy book.
He must mean you, David.
I am a Seventh-day Adventist because my church creed is the Bible and the Bible only.
Amen.
Any church that believes less than the Bible believes too little. Any church that believes more than the Bible believes too much.
Amen.
I keep the seventh day because it is the one and only Sabbath authorized in the Word of God. In the beginning, when
right
God
away,
created the world...
I figured that maybe that I could learn something here.
Sanctified.
So far, I agreed with everything he had said. The Bible is the only source of the church creed. And if the Bible authorizes Saturday as the Sabbath, then it is the right Sabbath. In fact, I had often wondered why the Bible said that God made holy the seventh day, yet the calendar said Sunday is the first day. Once I had even asked our minister about it. He answered that I shouldn't worry about it, that the Lord wasn't particular at all about which day we keep, just so we keep one day out of seven. That didn't satisfy me at all, but after all, it was my own minister who had said it, so I let it go at that, even though away down in my heart, I knew that it had been no answer at all. Now, as I listened to this preacher, it all came back to me, and I listened with rapt attention.
The Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Lord, when he was here upon earth, kept the Sabbath. Luke 4:16 says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Yes, foremost and emphatically, I am a Seventh-day Adventist because my Savior was. As his custom was, so must mine be. As he kept the Sabbath, so must I keep it. I am a Seventh-day Adventist tonight because Isaiah 56 and 58 and Revelation 14 say that in the last days the Lord will call his people back to Christ as the creator of heaven and earth and to the Sabbath as a memorial of his creative power. A lot of people say that Adventists harp on the Sabbath. If we do, it is because God harps on
it. It was a powerful sermon. I felt the cold chills go up and down my back. I knew before he was through that here was the long-awaited answer to my long unanswered question. I knew that the Adventists were right. I sat there and fairly trembled.
And today I keep the seventh-day Sabbath because it is founded upon the holy word of God and not upon the theories and traditions of man.
Amen, brother.
My Jesus says, if ye love me...
I walked home from that meeting in misery. I knew down in the bottom of my heart that Saturday is the Bible Sabbath. But I didn't know what to do about it. Later, I tried to talk it over with my wife, but she wouldn't listen to a word I said.
I won't listen, I tell you. Imagine us keeping Saturday for Sunday. Why, it's heathenish. I won't hear a word of it.
But the Adventists are right, Elizabeth. I looked up every text, and they're right. I
doubt that a great big world full of Sunday keepers could all be wrong.
But the Bible...
What are you trying to do, David Cunnington? Ruin our lives?
I'm just trying
to... Well, what's got into you anyway?
Well, the truth, I guess.
Well, the truth is, if you keep Saturday, you must be crazy. You'll lose the store and you'll just lose everything.
Well, I'd better lose everything here than eternal life, hadn't I?
I won't listen to another word. It's no use. Forget it.
Even though Elizabeth wouldn't listen or talk it over with me, I did have someone to talk to and confide in. Elmer. Yes, our oldest son, Elmer. Even though he was only 7, he was a bright boy. Ever since he had been hurt and crippled as a boy, we had been drawn closer and closer together. He would sit by the hour and talk to me and help the best he could with the store. From that day onward, the day Elizabeth refused to talk to me about the Bible truth, I began more and more to rely upon the kind and sympathetic understanding of little Elmer. Hour upon hour, we would read texts and discuss them. He seemed to understand them, too. Sometimes his understanding of profound truths astonished and amazed me. One day, when I was especially downhearted and discouraged, Elmer said,
Daddy, why don't you go ahead and do it?
Do what, son?
Keep Saturday. You want to, don't you?
Yes, Elmer, I know it's God's Sabbath, and it bothers me that I can't keep it. Saturday's the best day in the store. We cash checks for the Ball brothers and Hemingway's workers, and farmers come in with butter and eggs and... Well, your mother, she... No, son, I can't keep Saturday. I mustn't even think about it.
Do you mean that, Daddy?
Mean that I can't keep Saturday?
Yes, Daddy.
Well, of course I mean it. I can't, son, I just can't.
Why, Daddy?
Well, I just told you why. I'd lose the store, I'd lose everything, and son, the Bible says that a man who doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel.
Daddy?
Yes, Elmer?
Who told people to keep Saturday?
Why, God did, Elmer. It's all written down in the Bible.
Well, it doesn't sound right to me, Daddy. God telling you to do something that you can't do.
But I have to provide for you and Mother and...
Is it not keeping Saturday breaking one of God's laws?
Oh, yes, son.
You can't get to heaven, can you, if you break one of God's laws?
No, son. We must love God and keep his commandments.
Then it isn't fair, Daddy, if you really can't keep the Sabbath. It isn't fair for Jesus to keep you out of heaven for something you can't do. Daddy, doesn't Jesus love you and me and Mama as much as he does Grandma Johnson and Mrs. Haney and the McDonald's?
Well, yes, son. Jesus loves everybody.
Well, then, Daddy, keep Saturday. They do, and I don't see why Jesus won't help you to keep it like he does them.
I couldn't answer that kind of reasoning. There just isn't an answer. For the next 2 years, I was miserable. I lost flesh and grew grumpy and cross. It's a wonder that anyone continued to trade in the store. But they did. Many of my customers joined the newly organized Seventh-day Adventist Church. Things were going along about as usual. Except that, well, that was the year Elmer started ailing more than usual. He didn't get to school more than half the time, even though the Jackson School was right across the street. Elizabeth was about to present me with another baby when one day Elmer came in the store at noon and...
Daddy, I don't feel very good.
Do you feel worse than usual, son?
Yes, Daddy.
Well, what's the matter?
I got a headache. I had it so bad in school I couldn't even hold my head up. And I couldn't do my problems or anything.
Maybe you'd better go to bed. Want to?
Yes, Daddy. I'm awful sick and tired.
All right, then, son. You go to your room and get in bed. I'll get Carolyn over to help.
seeing as how your mama is sick.
All right, Daddy.
You just lie real still there, Elmer, while I go down to the store and get your father. You're awful sick. Elmer's awful sick, Mr. Cunnington.
What's the matter with him, Carolyn?
I don't know, Mr. Cunnington, sir, but you'd better get the doctor for him right away.
Is he that sick?
He's awful sick, Mr. Cunnington.
Oh, what's the matter with him, doctor?
Spinal meningitis, I think.
Oh, no. Tell me the truth, Dr. Buckland.
Yes?
Is there a chance for my son?
I've known you a long time, David. And Elmer doesn't have a chance.
Oh, little boy.
In view of the condition of Mrs. Cunnington, however, I think it's best that she doesn't know.
I understand, Doctor.
Poor little Elmer. He's such a sweet boy, too.
Old Dr. Buckland practically stayed by Elmer's side, but it didn't do any good. Elmer grew worse and worse. About midnight, as I sat alone by his bed, he gained consciousness and, almost in delirium, talked about the Sabbath.
Daddy?
Yes, son?
You can keep Saturday.
All right, son.
Jesus will help you.
No, honey, don't worry.
Daddy, I love you.
And I love you, son.
I want you, Daddy. Please be in heaven.
Son, that's all right now.
I want you there.
Yes, son.
I don't want to go to heaven unless you're there.
Yes, son.
Jesus will help you.
Yes, he will help me, son.
Keep the Sabbath.
Yes,
please,
son.
Please, Daddy. For yes. my sake.
Yes.
For Jesus' sake.
The third night, Elmer got even worse.
Mama! Mama! Mama!
But his mother couldn't
Mama.
Come. She was in the next room, attended by Dr. Buckland
Mama.
And Carolyn. Mrs. Haney and Grandpa Hansbrough were with me in Elmer's room. Before morning, Elmer passed away. I became so frantic that Mrs. Haney and Grandpa Hansbrough had to hold me. No.
David.
No.
David.
No.
Be calm, David.
I hate God. He took away my Elmer. I hate him. He took my son. My little son. Oh, the only good thing I ever had. And God took him. Oh, I hate him, I tell you, I hate him. It's not fair, taking my Elmer. Oh. What's that?
It's the new baby, David.
Your baby, Mr. Cunnington.
My baby?
Your new baby.
Mine? A boy or a girl?
You'll know in a few minutes, David.
It's a girl, Mr. Cunnington, sir.
But a baby. An innocent baby. Born in a night like this. Oh, poor little baby.
You want to hold her, sir, Mr. Cunnington?
Look at her.
Here you are, sir. Your daughter.
My daughter. My own little daughter. Oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me. And help me. Please help me. Please help me to keep the Sabbath. Please let me be in heaven so that I can be with Elmer. And, oh, dear God, help me to be a true father to this precious little baby. Direct from thy hand of love. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
pass. That night I talked to the Lord as if he were right there in that room. And I believe he was. Oh, how I wished that my armor could have been there and known that at last I was going to start loving God and keeping his commandments. Elizabeth and I kept the very next Saturday. And everyone since then, we have, with God's help, brought our children up in the fear of the Lord. We always said, Elizabeth and I, that we have a big piece of news to tell Elmer when we meet in skies. Together with our Lord and Savior, the wonderful Jesus.
David Cunnington lived 32 years after that. All those years, a sign hung in the Cunnington grocery, a sign that David Cunnington himself made, a sign that proclaimed to all the world, "This store closed Saturday, God's holy Sabbath." I want to be there in the skies. I want to be close by when David Cunnington meets Elmer and gives him that wonderful piece of news. "This store closed Saturday, God's holy Sabbath."
Blessed book, precious book, on thy dear old tear-stained leaves I love to look. Thou art sweeter day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright home above.
Hello, this is Robert Parks in approximately 1968. Not far from Anchorage, Alaska, I heard Josephine Cunnington Edwards tell the story you just heard. Josephine is the baby girl born to David Cunnington. This is a true story. I hope it has been a blessing to you. Please stay tuned for the next important message here on The Loud Cry.